When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up, y'all? Kofi Kingston here, and I would love to have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks, depending on what that drink is, preferably non-alcoholic, you know?
How's it going? I'm the Celtic Warrior, Seamus.
Wardlow here.
Soda.
I would love to have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks.
I would love to have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks.
Maple syrup.
Bye-bye.
I would never have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks.
With that, I'm going to cheers Fans First Sports Network as we get into our final spread of the boozies. This is the top five categories, guys, the scattergories.
Poop.
Cheers to Fans First. This is the poop. Starting with This Is Awesome moment of the year. I'll go ahead and kick it off because to me, this moment I have still not recovered from, in the sense that nothing has excited me at all more than this moment since then. So I've had a bit of an issue. For me, WrestleMania, Sammy and Kevin Owens versus the Usos winning the titles. The moment that Sammy and KO got to win and kind of brought their whole thing. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Bishop's asking a question instead of just doing it. Did you do Breakout Performer of the Year, Clump?
You've like skipped me in the last two. That's cool.
You did one more round.
No.
What? What was your breakout?
I didn't do one more round, and I didn't do breakout.
What are you talking about?
You did Logan Paul as one more
round.
You
did Logan Paul.
I did rookie. Why no, no.
Rookie.
Whatever. But
what was your breakout? Who's your breakout?
Breakout, Jay.
Oh, yeah, it was Jay. Yeah, that's right.
Wait, no, that was your comeback of the year.
Comeback was Jay. Is he breakout also?
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah, it works out.
I mean, it's the same content. If it's Jay, you say the same thing again. He's badass and doing yeet.
Yeah.
And he got yeet back. You know. Ain't bad.
He got yeet banned.
If you ain't first, you're yeet, you know?
Exactly.
And then, yeah, you're one more round. You wanted more Logan.
No, hell no. Nah. That wasn't one that. More. No, I
just yes, it was.
No.
What was Logan Paul then?
Yeah, why'd you say Logan Paul?
I don't even remember at this point, guys. Let's just move on.
Well, what's your one more round?
I appreciate you trying to help me out, man, but
it's really hurting. It's hurting more than helping.
It ain't working out, dude.
Just episode just, one.
You're just like highlighting my inadequacies.
Well, that's not true. It's ours.
No, I thought you got skipped on Breakout Performer because it sounded like you said Jake and Logan Paul for one more round.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll just go with that.
Okay. What was your one more round? What did you want to see more of? You just wanted to see more Logan, you said.
I mean,
you said no, that. So what did you actually write down? Are you deleting it as you go, dude?
He's just been winging it the whole time.
Never going to be different again.
I think my one more round would be Becky in a positive storyline.
Yeah, another round of Becky on top.
There we go. We're back.
Yeah.
My bad.
My This Is Awesome moment was Sammy and KO winning. I mean, they even had their PWG logo on their pants. They had the matching logos with the tape. Fuck, anyone who knows their story, and a lot of us have had to piece it together a little bit outside because they haven't told it all up front. But even within the context of the company, they've told a lot. For them to get to that crescendo, it was really interesting too, because this is the year after Kevin Owens main evented Stone Cold with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And you go, what could he do that could possibly feel bigger than that? Because the year before that, he had a one-on-one, or 2 years before that, a one-on-one. With, no, yeah, 1 year before that. He had a one-on-one match with Sammy versus KO. And they'd always dreamed of having a one-on-one match together at a WrestleMania. Well, they did it. Well, what can I do to top that? Versus Stone Cold. That's amazing. What can I do to top that? What if Sammy and KO win the tag team titles for the first time ever at the main event of WrestleMania? And they did that. And that was fucking crazy. And I honestly think it was the last time I got teary-eyed watching wrestling. And to be honest, it really, but after that, having the Cody moment stripped away, it's felt like an uphill battle getting back as excited as I was in than that particular night, right? And ever since then, everything has felt like a little bit less than. No matter how excited I've got about something, it's like, yeah, but it blew my load. I adrenaline jumped and I dumped and I am fucking trying to reload. You know what I mean? So for me, it was that level of crescendo where it's like, they did it. They did the thing that it's all I wanted to see for so many years, and they did it. So for me, that was the moment of the year. Moment of the year. Clump, what do you got for moment of the year?
Moment of the year for me, probably, I mean, Randy coming back. Because they telegraphed, but the way they did it, even though they telegraphed it, was still so good. And it was nice seeing him come back. And it made me give a shit about Randy Orton, which I haven't in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, regardless of them telling us he was coming back, the fact he was coming back was already like, dope. And then everything he did that moment and moving forward, just like, this was worth it.
I think that's the special part about Randy coming back, is he felt different. Because a lot of these comebacks, announced or not, they don't feel like a different performer, different purpose. This Randy feels like a different performer, different purpose, especially since the last time we saw him was tag team fucking around with Riddle, you know? And this, he seems to be Daddy Orton is Daddy Orton. So I definitely agree with Clump's perspective there for sure.
Yeah, me too. Bishop, what was your This Is Awesome moment of the year?
Yeah, so I moved the EO cash in to my holy shit moment. Because while I was messing around with some other things, to your point, Marsh, about Zelina's gear, I think that this is awesome moment of the year for me was just WWE in Puerto Rico. That entire PLE was beyond exceptional. Just from the fans themselves counting in Spanish, you know, and the energy they had behind every single performer. A match of the year candidate, two of them, EO and Bianca, and Damian Priest and Bad Bunny. You know, I all of these things were up in consideration for me in other categories. That just WWE's event in Puerto Rico was so special, so magical, a vibe and wrestling environment that we haven't seen translate through the screen on TV for an entire run. I was exhausted by the end of the Bad Bunny match, that there was more wrestling afterwards that I didn't even need to see. And we're talking about some Roman, some Jey Uso, like there was a lot to go. And they just absolutely crushed it. So anytime WWE wants to go back to Puerto Rico for a PLE, I'll be watching with bells on. I can't miss it. I thought it was the greatest thing we've seen translate over the energy translating through the TV for an entire pay-per-view was just amazing. So that's my This Is Awesome moment of the year.
Yeah, to be honest, even with the one more round, I thought that any one of us could have said Bad Bunny in general because of that moment. Or even fucking Pat McAfee, because every time he comes back, you're reminded of how good both of them. You're reminded how good they are and why we like them so much. And that entrance that Bad Bunny had could have been entrance of the year. I don't have an entrance of the year category, but it could have been, because that was one of the rare times that coming out felt like bigger than an entrance. It felt like we were actually part of a concert. We felt like we were part of a moment because of the fact that they were playing the song and the whole stadium knew the song and you could hear them singing along with it and moving to the beat. And as he did anything, they were shadowing him. It was incredible. I just remember saying, wow, as he was coming out to that whole thing. And I was like, I don't even know what we're listening to, but everything they're doing has me feeling stuff. So,
well, and that stadium was proper packed. We hear about sellout crowds. We hear about the stadiums full. That stadium, the way it looked, the way the camera shot it, it looked like Attitude Era at its peak, absolutely filled to the brim with people coming out. It was amazing.
It felt like a turnaway crowd. It felt like there was had of people who were turned away.
Yeah.
You know? Let's see. Let's go on to, speaking of turnt, match of the year. I'm going to blow through mine real quick because I already blew my load already. I again went with Sami KO versus the Usos WrestleMania. Just the match was so good. The story of it superseded any expectation I had for it because I felt like going into it, we were a step below because we were just coming off of Sami's loss to Roman. And I felt like Sami Roman was bigger than this could be. And they went in there and they reminded you, no, this could be bigger than you think. And the whole match itself did it for me. There was a lot of great matches this year. You could say easily almost any Ilya Dragunov match could be talked about. Easily any Cody match could be talked about. This. I mean, the Cody Brock series had some sick fucking matches. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happened that you just go, oh my God, this is incredible. And I felt like there was a Becky match that just really over-delivered. Maybe it was the NXT.
Trish in the Cage.
Trish in the Cage, and also her the one where
first
she lost
one with Tiffany.
The first one with Tiffany, but the one where she lost to
Lyra. Yeah.
Lyra. That was fucking phenomenal. Like those were all kind of in my minds about it, but those are things that are trying to rebuild my excitement for the thing that I lost after this match because it was so much, and that's why I went with this one. But let's go back to Clump. Clump, what was your match of the year?
Honestly, and that's going to be weird, I keep going back to, and it's recent, Jay versus Seth for the title, just because of the meaning behind it to me. Like, it was a really, really good match. They were putting everything into it. It looked good. And there was moments where I'm like, this could go to Jay. This really could go to Jay. You know, you don't think it's going to happen, but it really could. And again, seeing him in that role, stepped up, doing everything, was fucking fantastic.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because what are you going to say about it?
No, it's honestly one of Seth's best matches this year. And he wrestled all year long. And it literally one of Seth's best matches this year.
Seth hasn't lost clean over and over a year.
Yeah. It's one of his best matches.
That's why you don't like Cody matches, because he doesn't lose clean.
No, there's a different story happening. Anyway, go ahead. What were you saying?
What was his story? That he just wins all the time?
Yeah, because he's actually good at wrestling.
Since when? He kicked someone in the nuts to win a championship. That's not good at wrestling.
It's not this year. Anyway, what were you saying?
All right. Not this year, he didn't.
Plus, Bishop, he loses to Cody all the time.
He did lose Cody all the time.
I had three that I couldn't get away from.
Because Cody's so good at wrestling.
Damian Priest and Bad Bunny was just so good. Amazing. I watched it like three times in a row, just trying to see what I missed and to watch Damian Priest. And shout out to Damian Priest. We didn't give him enough credit earlier on for Breakout and all that stuff. He's just risen to a new level. And honestly, him and EO were the breakouts from Puerto Rico. Was it Backlash?
Yep.
Because they both went on a rise right afterwards. So anyway, Damian Priest, Bad Bunny, KO and Sammy against the Usos as well. I agree with you. Such a phenomenal match. One of the best tag team matches we've seen in a very long time. The story on story on story on story was just incredible. It became solidified as a great story when watching the press conference with KO not even having the words. For the first time ever, KO doesn't have the words. That's how special that match was. But you glossed over it a bit. I went with what match made me feel the most just watching. And it was Roman and Sammy. the match they had in Montreal, the story leading into it on the breakaway from the Bloodline, the stuff they brought in with the family, the fact that you thought Sammy really might get it during the match, the entire build, everything, the emotions. And for that crowd, I will absolutely never forget it. They brought that crowd to the highest of highs, to dead silence.
Yeah.
And that's how you get fans to invest in what's going on. When you want to talk about who's the best wrestler in the world, when you want to talk about, you know, who draws the most and who can create an XYZ, all this shit. The very first time I've seen that kind of magic all encompassed was that match. The crowd wanted Sammy so bad. And when that three hit, the entire crowd knew it was legit and it was over. They had nothing left. And it was amazing. So that's my match of the year, Roman and Sammy.
Yeah, it's hard to argue on. And the only reason I didn't, it was because of how important the match was following with it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, and even the story leading up to that, starting at the Rumble, even if you want to talk 2023, the end of the Rumble was Sammy cracking Roman with the chair. It was an incredible story, the honorary Oos.
Yeah.
You know, honorary Oos as a story of the Bloodline kept the Bloodline was running cold then. Before Sammy got involved, it was already people were like, okay, how do we get out of this? Like, it was already the chatter of like, okay, we've had enough. And then Sammy kind of interjects himself in a way, literally backstage interjects himself in a way, that suddenly the crowd starts going, we cannot get enough of this. They rode on the Sammy wave for the entirety of 2022. And towards the end of 2023, in the beginning of 2023, leading in through into Mania. And that's what made everything about all of that feel so important was Sammy's addition to it. And it was a huge credit to Sammy and what he can bring. You know, I think he's amazing. And for me, that's what's been tough is that Sammy's been my guy for so long. We talked about it before on episode one, that for me, it's tough because he's reached a crescendo in a way twice, like three times in a year that you kind of go, is it possible to put him back up there? Like, not in a bad way, but is he always going to be a step lower than he has been? Like, cause did he do it? You know what I mean? Like, he did it. He was the number one story. He was the number one merch seller. He finally went from having one shirt every 3 years to having like six or seven shirts out, like a new shirt every month. They were releasing shirts before they'd show them on TV just so they could start the sales in early. Like,
yeah,
to two match of the years on this show. You know what I mean?
Like, there's a lot of Jake Roberts, Roddy Piper, you know, in WWE right now, right? Those guys who are so important, like Kevin Owens, like a Sami Zayn, like an AJ Styles, like a, you know, even Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, like Baron Corbin, these guys who are just right underneath the main event that are absolutely legit every time you see them. But what else is there for them to do, and will they get that moment? And with those two titles, I mean, you've been saying it on episode one, Marsh, Seth holding the title and not allowing these other guys to have that moment, you know, it's tough. Seth said it on the recap show for the year that he felt he was giving them those moments to be in the main event. Well, Sammy's already been there. Jay's already been there. He headlined SummerSlam. He didn't need Seth on Raw.
Yep. Yeah. You gave them a Raw main event. They've had Mania. They had, you know, Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing is that like there's certain parts of like the Seth person that you're confused at with the character. Does he really think that a match with him for the title is the main event? Because it hasn't been ever. He's never main evented in WrestleMania. So at the same time, he's saying on one side of his mouth, he wants a main event WrestleMania. He had the cash in and he knows that that's a main event with an asterisk. You know what I mean? He forced himself into the last 2 minutes of a Mania, but he's never been booked or had any tickets sold for him as a main event. And for him as character or otherwise to be like, well, by giving these dudes who were in matches against Roman Reigns on these massive platforms, the opportunity to have a main event Raw match is like, but that's the part of it is that's a problem is that you as the champion is a Raw main event.
Right.
And that's it. You as a champion has never been a premium live event, main event. No matter what else is on those shows, it doesn't close it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and when it does, it feels like, okay, I can stop watching now. Because It just doesn't feel like you're going to get much. You're going to get a good match, good to great, but you know what's going to happen, and it makes no impact the next night. You know what I mean? So like you said, they didn't need him, and I feel like that there's a certain degree where his championship needs to beat them to be credible, not that they need to defend for it to look like potential champions. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's crazy, dude. It's crazy. Female superstar of the year. I'm going to go to Clump. Clump. Female superstar of the year.
Rhea.
Yeah, that's an easy dunk.
Yeah, she's had an amazing year. Good God, no. not meat planet of the year. I mean, and even then, I'd give that to Otis. Yeah. Or myself.
Oh.
Yeah.
Clump two-time winner of a boozy.
Nice. No, Rhea's had an amazing year. Both in the women's division and in the men's division. She's been present in storylines, and she's been holding her own, and she's arguably the most important member of Judgment Day.
Yeah. Yep. Bishop, who do you got for female of the year?
Yeah, I messed around and, you know, I was gonna do a couple things. I was gonna say Jade Cargill because, you know, she caused the biggest waves in WWE when she showed up. But what landed the same thing for me as Clump was with Rhea being the most important member of Judgment Day. Judgment Day was something that was floundering for a little while, but she solidified it with her dominance. That's what allowed Judgment Day to feel credible. So as she moved after WrestleMania with the title, then Dom winning made it feel like Dom's never going to lose. With Trick and Damian winning, Finn and Damian winning the tag titles, you know, it feels like they're never going to lose because Rhea is legit. So everyone's legit now.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost said it before I even announced the category, and I wish I had, that I felt like this was going to be the only clean sweep of the night, that there was just no way that I think that anyone had an argument outside of Rhea. Like when I try to think of other women who are remotely in those conversations, Io's part of a faction that was largely floundering and people keep waiting for them to take the title off her for somebody else. Quote, like, I mean, somebody theoretically, quote, more important, right? How long until Charlotte takes it off Io so they can take it to Mania, right? Like, I heard a number of conversations before Charlotte got hurt. It was, okay, so Charlotte's going to take the title off Io so they could build towards a WrestleMania match of Charlotte versus anybody else. It was, Io right. Doesn't feel as important as she should, especially considering how good she is. She's tremendous. But Rhea has brought a credibility to Prison Dom and to Judgment Day. And she's just the most undeniable woman on the roster right now in a lot of ways. Like, she's the one woman who's getting TV time in men's storylines.
Uh-huh.
And this isn't like Zelina being part of LWO and having a little input here and there. Rhea Ripley is having sit down conversations with Paul Heyman.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, she is arguably the most important member of Judgment Day. And to your credit, like you said, a largely floundering faction, even from the beginning.
Yeah.
When it was Edge, we were coming on here on episode one being like, what is this? Like, this should be better than it is. And we were largely complaining about the presentation of it and how corny so much of it was and how all of their heel lines came off so old school. You ugly crowd. Everyone out here looks ugly and fat. I'm not fat. I have money. You're probably poor. And you go, okay, dude, this isn't a fucking territory show in Tennessee where it's just easy to say you guys are dumb and I'm smart. As much as I love Andy Kaufman, so much of his fucking gimmick was telling Memphis that they're stupid and he was smart because he was from Hollywood. We're past those days. You know what I mean? Like, if 40 years later you can't cut a promo to make someone mad that's not racist or I fucked your mom, then you're bad at this. And that's what they did in the beginning. And now they're getting boos because one of their top members went to prison and he was hardened by crime for a night and everyone around him just agrees with it and moves on. And that's part of the heat.
Yeah, that's my problem with Drew McIntyre and most of AEW is that they don't get boos for what they do. They're mm-hmm. trying to get boos for what they say. And Judgment Day absolutely gets boos for what they do and who they are, not what they say. Because what they say is who they are. To your exact point, that was one of the things I loved. Dom's like, when you do hard time, and then Finn's like, yeah, tell him, Dom, when everyone knows it was like 12 hours tops, right?
Yeah.
You know, so like them supporting and being this group of degenerates, real degenerates, as opposed to, you know, fun-loving, happy degenerates, it's all solidified around the fact that Rey is a badass.
Yep.
And will fight every woman on the roster and also fight every man. We've talked about this, right? Rey is stepping in front of Dom, begging to get hit by a dude. Isn't let's watch this bad thing happen. It's like, yeah, swing on Rhea. I want to see what happens.
Yeah. She might fuck you up, dude.
Exactly. Exactly.
She might. Clump and male.
She's always on top.
And she's always on top, and she's always pegging, dude. Always pegging.
Always.
Wouldn't that be a good shirt if you just said Rhea Ripley on the back and said always pegging? Sort of like written like always ready from Matt Cardona, but just says always pegging.
No, sell a strap on strap.
Ooh.
Like a have it be like you a Cody weight rope. Belt, but it goes down. It
goes the other way. You turn it around, buckles in the back.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. Well, who's your male superstar of the year, Clump?
I'm gonna give it to Seth. Cause he got an impossible task and he's trying.
Yeah, he is. He's giving the best he got.
Like he you're gonna make this title important. We're gonna put it on you, and you're trying. You're putting on matches damn near every week. You're not succeeding necessarily, but damn, you're trying.
Seth is easily one of the most frustrating people to love, because you can see how great he is all the time, and you know that's just a step shy of what it should be. In yes. some way, not because of his lack of effort, but because of, like I said, when he cut the promo on Punk, it was the first time it felt like he opened up to the audience. And so like, there's like, if you would just take one shed layer off, then I think
you'd
we could,
great.
You'd be great. And we could support you a little bit more, but right now we just love you for sake of, because you put on good matches and you give your all, you try so hard, but you try so hard behind a mask in a way that we're all like, you're not connecting. You're just doing great. You know, just in the worst place to be, I guess. Bishop, who do you got? Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think it's hard to say that it's a good call. Seth should be male superstar of the year, all things considered. But that click is what's missing for me. Bishop, who do you got? Male superstar of the year?
It's a tough one for me. You know, I've had Gunther in the past. I've had Seth Rollins in the past, Roman Reigns, all that. I honestly still don't know. I think I'm gonna go LA Knight. I think LA Knight's my male superstar of the year. I think from an overall perspective, he's done the most with the least. Mm-hmm. From the beginning of the year, having to build the Bray Wyatt match by himself because Bray wasn't on TV, to the end of the year where he comes out in a moment where you're not thinking he's going to be there because they didn't say anything about him, to the biggest pops you get. I really enjoyed everything he did this year, and I think he really supplanted himself as one of the next to be able to try to push through the Piper, Jake Roberts level of, can I be Macho Man? Can I be Hogan?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I went LA Knight as well. Yeah. For all the things I told you about earlier, his ability to go from a model agency manager to mega superstar, you know what I mean? The mega star, the $1 million mega star. His ability to go ahead and connect on a level that a lot of people still say that they think is shallow and wrestling 101 in a world where we have a lot of, I grew up a wrestling fan, till we finally have somebody who goes, I'm here to kick ass and make money. Mm-hmm. And it's strangely refreshing. You know what I mean? Because there was a long time that's all you had. We're all here just to make money, right? But he's one of the few characters that comes across as that. And even though you know he was probably a wrestling fan as a kid, they're not going to show a montage of him as a kid in his fucking wrestling buddy pajamas. You know what I mean? Like, he's a dude who's doing this professionally, where a lot of the characters we have nowadays with the Garganos and the Seths is like, it's not people who do this professionally. It's people who do this based purely out of love, and we would do it without pay. And LA Knight comes across as, no,
You have to pay me to do this because I'm so goddamn good at this. I'm a pro. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to send out one honorable mention to Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
He's someone that I agree, but my point is he was always able to be the glue to the next thing. So when Sammy was going through the bloodline stuff, KO was trying to say things, and you know, and the second you go, well, KO, you've turned on everyone. How should anyone trust you? But then again, he's the one that they trust to do this, right? They trust in the Cody spot, that they trust in the Sammy spot. They trust him now with getting Austin Theory and Grayson Waller to the next level, right? They've always, so I think he definitely deserves a credit for the kind of work he's done. Because that's what I did with Seth last year when Roman had both titles and no one else had an opportunity to shine. Seth was able to help make other people shine. And for Kevin Owens to do that this year, I definitely think he deserves some credit. It's just that LA Knight just put himself on a whole new level, that he's him in a match with Kevin Owens. You're expecting LA Knight to win to get to that next level.
Yeah. And like you said, and started with they gave him nothing. They gave him shit. And I was like, and he was the dude. The reason he talks on the way to the ring isn't because they book him for a promo and match. It's because, can I get a match? And then how long is my entrance? Can I have a mic? He forces it into the entrance because he knows that's what he needs to do to get in his words. And if all he's going to get is 30 seconds on the mic, he's going to get 30 seconds on the mic. That's going to get the whole crowd hot. So next time they want him to have 45 seconds on the mic. You know what I mean? Like, he kind of forces the issue because he knows he can do it. Superstar of the year. For me, I put Cody Rhodes because, like it or not, he's had more matches than anyone else in the company, more wins than anyone else in the company. He's been on more shows than anyone else in the company for the year.
Yeah, he's done live shows.
He's done every live show. He's done almost every TV. He's bounced between the two shows for different reasons here and there. He did the veteran show to bring up the army drill just so people could see him and wave. He gives a signed belt to a kid in the front row every time. He's at all the backstage things. This dude is trying in every way to be what he saw Cena was when he was trying to succeed the first run. And I think that's fucking notable, dude. Other people like can give it a go. Bianca's done very well, but and Becky always tries to give it her all and do those things. But when I go to shows and when I see people at shows, especially when Cena's on the road, there's a stack of Cena signed autographs for $25. Nowadays, there's always Cody. Sometimes Cena's are there if there's any left over. You're starting to get some Punk ones. We'll see how long that lasts. Occasionally, I've seen Becky and AJ at live event ones, but you're always going to see the Cody ones and stuff. This dude's trying to be everything he saw Cena be. And I think he's doing a bang-up job of it, and I don't want to neglect that. So that's why I said superstar, not just male or female, because it goes beyond the idea of like, what is your story, Ben? Who are you to the company, right? And he's a dude who presents himself in the, yeah, I'll go do that interview. Yeah, I'll go do that media. Oh yeah, I'll be here early to sign 250 autographs before we get going. Like, it's just, he's doing it, man.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that concept, and he is trying. My biggest problem with him, period, is I just don't feel it. It feels like he's doing the thing, but when he's in the mix of promos and he's in the mix of matches, I don't feel it. I don't feel the status. I don't feel the performance. I don't feel the character. I don't feel the identity. The fact that he can do those things, I get the results. I mean, I bought my kid a bunch of Cody merch because it works, right? So I get that. And good on him. And to your point, he is a superstar. So I definitely won't shit on him in this particular moment. I'll agree with you on that. It's not mine, but I'll agree with you on that.
At the same time, when Cena was doing all that stuff, I didn't like Cena and I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time, I think he is a lot of what Cena was on Cena's first run as the top guy. Like, I think there's a lot there. And I think at some point the crowd's going to split on Cody. And I do think it's going to be the Cody, let's go Cody. Cody sucks. I think that'll happen eventually. Because this does feel like, it does feel very similar to me in that regard. And I can say from another dude I met, when I first met Cody, it was right after his match with Dustin at Double or Nothing. It was the next day. And he was doing like a cigar smoke thing where he was
they'd given, you could buy one of his cigars and you could hang out in this lounge and smoke with him and get a photo with him and kind of talk to him for a minute. And I went over to him to tell him that before that match, I was not a Cody guy. Kevlar was always telling me how amazing Cody was and how Cody never got a fair shake and how he always thought that they did wrong by Cody and he was doing amazing things on the indies and, you know, all this great stuff about Cody. And I just never saw it, never got it. I went over to him to tell him that after that match, that he won me over as a fan. That I was like, I see so much more in you now than I saw before. And I want to let you know, you did your job. Like, you got new fans. You brought in someone. I'm going to be a Cody guy. And he kept kind of cutting me off, saying about how important it was to him to be able to have that match with a crowd with his brother. So his brother could see the types of crowds that he's been performing in front of. And he wanted his brother to experience what he's been experiencing because of the crowd loving him the way that they had and taking him in the way that they had. He felt like his brother would never have experienced something on that level if he didn't get his brother over there to do that. And he just kept talking about how important it was for him to give that match to Dustin. That was the whole point of it. And that's everything he wanted. It was pretty cool to me for me to try to tell this guy about how good he's doing for him, that he just kept going, it's not about that. Look at my brother. Go tell my brother that. You know what I mean? Like, this is all for him. And I did go and tell his brother that, and his brother started crying and shit. So, but
that's all. Like, well, Dustin also gave so much in that match as well.
Yes. Bleeding.
Yeah. 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 That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so just knowing that about him and knowing that's kind of where his heart is at, I know that what he's doing now is because that's where his heart is at. Same way. He wants that kid to grow up and want to be a Cody or a Cena or, you know what I mean? Like, he's trying to inspire that generation, which I think is so fucking admirable for Superstar of the Year. Let's go Bishop and then we'll close it out with Klump there. Bishop, who's your Superstar of the Year? Klump, you better have something good ready.
Yeah, I thought about a bunch of things and, you know, I wanted to give Bray the honorary, but we talked about him earlier and it felt good to hear, you know, your thoughts on how much we'll miss him. I was thinking LA Knight, maybe Logan Paul, Dom, Rhea, but we all talked about them earlier. For me, it's Jey Uso. I think Jey's evolution of a character in 1 year from being one of the most hated to one of the most loved, it just speaks to his talent. To be there at SummerSlam when he started his new wave of the crowd to get them in with his music, he has the crowd in the palm of his hands. Everything he does, he absolutely owns the moment. When he had his first opportunity to open Raw and couldn't speak, one of the best talkers on the microphone. He's really feeling this space that he's in. But again, he started the year in the Royal Rumble where Sammy smacks Roman with the chair, and he has to be, you know, torn with what's going on, the emotions that he helped us feel this entire year to get through the loss at WrestleMania, to his turn on Roman, which was one of the highest viewed clips that WWE had all year long, to where he is now as this complete solo star who's ready for the main event scene to hold the title, I think just speaks volume to who he is. And he is my absolute number one Superstar of the Year. He was never in a bad spot. He was never in a bad match. He was never in a bad promo. He was never in a place where you didn't believe everything he was doing and everything he was saying. Even when he said, I'm out, deuces, ooses, I had no clue what was happening next. And that's why he's my Superstar of the Year. I think Jey Uso absolutely crushed it this year.
Yeah, from the moment he hit the promo of which one are you in the Thunderdome era, it's only been up from there as far as of what he's given. He's gotten in better shape every day. Like, he works at a different level than he did before. He's not relying on the family the way that he was before. Even though you can talk about the bloodline, he's not relying on them the way he was before. He's showing up to be on that level, not thinking we're going to do this together. You know what I mean? I've got to provide this. And he's provided so much authenticity for everything he says and does and everything around him that when you see Sammy turn on Roman, you go, oh no, what's Jey going to think? You know what I mean? Like, you look at Jey and his reaction, you just go, oh, you know what I mean? Like, you feel for him and everything he says and does. He's a dude who's
He's worked for it. He's worked to put meaning behind the main event. Jey Uso was given to him by Paul Heyman in a very condescending way. And he's provided a legitimacy and a meaning to that. And like, yeah, I'm a main event. I can main event. Where when Paul Heyman says like, oh, you're in the main event. You're main event Jey Uso being a dick. And now he's all like, no, yeah. Yeah. Who's in the main event? Jey Uso. Yep. Going to be good. He's provided that meaning there. So I think it's a great one. Clump.
Honestly, Bailey.
Yes. Close it out.
I hazarded to say that because I knew it was going to be a thing like this. And I'm not going to be all like pie in the sky about it, like how Marsh loves Bailey to death. But mm-hmm. I think as a pure performer, when it's Mike performance in the ring, telling stories in the ring, everything combined, I can't think of somebody who's done it better than Bailey. And that's in spite of some challenges there with the storytelling and stuff like that. At every point, I feel like, you know, Bailey's taking every second on screen that they have to forward a story and forward their story. And I can't get enough of it.
Well, me too. She puts it all out there, dude. She does it. She gives it all for the story and all that, dude. She really is one of those ones where like you watch what she's doing now and all you can think is, God, imagine what she's going to do when she's done wrestling. Imagine, yeah. Like she could be, I wouldn't be shocked. And I'll say it here now on episode one, first time, first you heard, what do they say? You heard it here first heard. I wouldn't be surprised if she's the one who ultimately takes over for Shawn Michaels in NXT.
Yeah, I can see that.
I wouldn't be shocked if when Shawn Michaels is done and retired, that she has passed her years of wanting to be an in-ring performer and says, I'm taking over. Or doing kind of what Triple H did, where Triple H was running NXT and still did a match or two. Like when when Seth Rollins went to NXT to call out Triple H for WrestleMania. Show's called Takeover. What a great moment that was.
So cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, got Triple H coming up there and be like, get him out of here. I could see Bailey doing that too. Being the head of NXT, the voice of NXT, the one doing that. And then still being able to do one or two matches a year to help somebody coming up or coming through, you know? It wouldn't shock me because, like you said, what she provides to her stories and her teams is, I would say unmatched, but you got Natty out there. So let's not pretend Natty's not doing what she can, but I think her mind for the business, everything I've heard from pros who have talked to Bailey about business are always impressed by her mind for the business. So.
And I actually, when you were saying that, I was like, man, TJ would be a great one to take over NXT too. Everything we hear about what he's done for the women's division on a whole. I had Bailey as an honorable mention for for my women's superstar of the year. But if I did that, then Ray would have had to have been the superstar of the year. And then I wouldn't have had a chance to talk about Jey. And I really thought Jey should have got it. So Bailey's a great one because it's such a, we love women's wrestling. And it was such a down year on the overall of what we saw for the women, right? You know, we didn't get what we're used to, these overly impactful, women's storylines and things like that. You know, there was no Becky Bianca this year. You know, that type of storyline. Because in our collective opinion here, I think I can speak for everyone, Rhea beating Charlotte at WrestleMania was a course correction, a wrong that was righted, not a moment she needed as far as her particular story goes. She should have beat Charlotte the first time, you know? Yeah. So, you know, getting Io as the champion, but still in the faction, we just didn't have that kind of year for the women. So I thought Bailey definitely deserves it as well, just for being able to really be a mainstay in the women's division and keep the women relevant. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and she's one of the ones that makes you hopeful for women's wrestling moving forward. Not that there's like, you know, oh, and people who are shitting on the division, but like I said, the potential for what she can give back to women's wrestling through her career and after. Notable. Blue Boyd saying in the chat, saying Charlotte getting injured is intriguing, and I don't hate it. Well, yeah, I mean, what's intriguing is what we're going to do with the women's division without her, because they leaned on her for every Mania. If she's not here this Mania, what are we going to get at Mania? To me, there's actually a lot of excitement there, because like her or not, they've relied on her to do that Mania. Anyone who's put in that position now is taking the Charlotte spot. And yeah, whether we like those matches or not, they're always critically acclaimed, right? So there's a lot of pressure on whoever's going to be in there to bring it. And so I'm really excited about whoever shows up, because I have a feeling that they're going to show the fuck up. And I hope it's a Bayley. I hope Bayley gets that spot. So,
yeah, I mean, Charlotte's been at Mania the last, was it 7 years, either challenging or holding the title.
Yep.
Always in, yeah, always in the title match. And it's not something I necessarily look forward to either.
Yeah. And like I said, like it or not, that's what people say. So I'm super excited about the concept of what we're doing. And Clump, I appreciate you bringing up Bayley's Superstar of the Year, because I felt bad as I was looking at my list. I was like, God, the only Bayley thing I have is that we just didn't get enough of Damage Control as we have now. And I was like, and usually she's up there as far as like this moment, that moment, what's around her. And like I said, this was a rough year for women, if I'm honest. Like, there was a lot of great moments and a lot of bad stories and a lot of clunkiness and a lot of untimed injuries and a lot of pregnancies. And a lot of it just came down to like, let's readjust again. Let's readjust again. Chelsea Green, you mentioned, has had 3 tag team partners while champion.
Yeah.
So it's like, fuck. But guys, I think that's going to bring an end to the boozies for us. That is the this edition of our 5th annual first ever boozies. Tomorrow night, we're going to have the indie edition. So Miss Amanda Jane and Digi are going to talk about AEW and indie wrestling and who they thought filled these categories in those regards. Was there anything that we didn't touch on that you guys wanted to talk about? Any honorable mention things?
No, I tried to chime in as best I can, as I always do. You know, I appreciate you having us on here and really getting to go after it. This is always fun to hit a boozy with you.
Yeah, and this is a fun one too, because we get to kind of like, really, this is celebrating a lot of the good stuff and being that fair conversation of like, look, like it or not, Punk should win some of this because I don't like him, but this is notable. You know what I mean? Like, it's finding the positive in the things that you don't like day to day either. So this is a fun one. It's one of the more fun ones for me, because I really like when we get to sit back and be like, how great was this year? You know, even though we had months where I was like, I think the wind's out of my sails, guys. It was also like, but it was still good, you know? Clump, anything you want to throw out there for last call?
No, I'm good.
All right. I'm just happy you're here with us. I'm happy you're back with us. And I'm happy for everyone who came through the 5th annual first ever Boozy Awards here in the dive bar of the IWC. Guys, we'll be back. So give us the old like, the subscribe, put the I in notifications, subscriptions, the no notifications. It's only episode 1. Guys, we'll figure it out. Until next time, that's the last call.
Cheers.
Producer Lady here. Thanks for tuning in. Continue to support and buy us a drink by putting the I in subscribe and reviewing our podcast. And cheers to Fans First Sports Network for keeping the dive bar lights on.
I would never have a drink.